Yes, it's not only Santa Claus who's coming to town. No, it's our resident baking, cooking expert, Philip Friend here, live in the studio. Morning, Philip.
Good morning, Laura.
Oh, sorry. I'm just going to have to move the... I've done the ultimate fail. I haven't put the mic down for you.
Oh, no.
I knew I was missing something. I've got your headphones, got you everything. Put the right guest mic up, which is the bit I normally forget, and didn't actually give you the mic. So we're just going to readjust that one. There we go. Lovely. So we can all hear you. And so first of all, Philip, how's life treating you? How's it all going?
It's going really well. Wonderfully busy at school, which I love. Yeah. Keeps me out of mischief as well. And obviously, now I can officially start to think about Christmas.
Oh, yeah. 1st of December, hey. I love it. So it's fast approaching, as we know, and we can't avoid the shops and all the adverts and everything else, can we? And I think I can feel the grey hairs already coming on as I speak, to be honest with you. But what's the best way? I mean, I was going to come at you with this question. What's the best way to plan for such a big event, otherwise known as the Christmas dinner? None of us want to fail at that, do we?
I know, and people get so stressed about it, don't they? And understandably, because you think, oh my gosh, if it goes wrong, that's it. But actually, for me, I find that preparation a day or two in advance. Mm. So the only thing I'll actually cook from scratch on the day is the turkey or the beef or the gammon or whatever. But things like the veg, I will get that prepped the day or so before. So potatoes for roast. I'll parboil them, put them in a bit of fat, and just leave them out on the work surface until I'm ready to cook them before people sit down. Carrots, parsnips and things, again, get those dealt with beforehand. Carrots, I would just cook them until they're almost fully cooked, so there's a little bit of bite.
Okay.
And then just pop them in the oven just before serving, just to warm through. Red cabbage as well. So it can all be done, even the gravy.
Yeah.
And I tend to, with gravy, because I think a really good gravy can make it, is just get some chicken wings, you know, really cheapest chips in the supermarket, whack them in the oven, get them really brown and tasty, glug of wine, some herbs, bit of vegetables, boil the heck out of it so it goes into a really nice stock.
Yeah.
Freeze it, and then the day or so before Christmas, defrost it, and that is a fantastic turkey or chicken stock ready to go when you're ready to bring it all together.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. You know, it's funny, these little things like that you don't think about, isn't it? But they're the things that take the time.
Oh, absolutely. And also, use people around you as well. Don't be afraid, because people always say, oh, can I help? And often we say, no, no, it's fine, I've got it covered. And yeah, you have. But actually, sometimes, oh, could you just, you know, peel some veg, or could you just do that? So I would, people around you, get them to peel the veg, get them to get plates and pots and things out ready to go, so that you can just focus on
the key
just bringing
stuff.
It all together at the end.
It's like a magical orchestra, isn't it?
It is. And things like your potatoes, when you roast the potatoes, do those once the meat has come out the oven, because it needs a good hour or so, the meat, to rest, and it will just become, whatever meat you're using, it will become juicier, more succulent, and that's the time to put the rest of the veg in to heat up, and the rest potatoes.
Okay, I mean, that's some fabulous tips there, and I think already I'm going in my head. I'm making some notes here right now in my head. The gravy one's actually definitely one I'm always
really
kind
good.
Of...
gravy in advance.
Yeah.
And if you're having roast beforehand, freeze bits of gravy if you've got any left over, and then just, because it freezes
Boxing
beautifully.
Day as well, and...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lovely. So, you know, because so much effort kind of goes into it all, and what sort of things can we be making that may be a little bit easier but still have quite an impact?
For the day itself? So obviously we dealt with the roast, but things like little nibbly things to pick up. It's like sausage rolls, you know, homemade sausage rolls that can be made very quickly. And again, they can be done in advance. Obviously things like mince pies can be made and baked in advance.
We actually had a question. Actually, I was going to come to the questions later, but we did have a question from our very own John Andrews, actually, who I'm going to tell you what John Andrews did, mind you, because he is my fiancé, and I'm sure I'm allowed to say this, but one year he made mince pies and he forgot to put the actual mincemeat in.
Oh.
I'm not sure what we called them, but I tell you what he did. He ended up putting it in, like, midway and trying to shove it.
Why not?
And then
they tasted
divine,
actually. There we go.
Actually, sorry, John. Don't be annoyed about that.
We've all done things like that.
Yeah. But is there so John asked, actually, is there a quick way to make mince pies? How can you cheat?
How can you cheat? Again, bought pastry, roll it out thinly, put them into little mince pie tins. And again, if you've got kids around, they love to roll out pastry, stamp them out. And you don't need to put a topping on them if you want to really speed up the process. Don't bother with the topping, just pastry in the base, dollop of mincemeat, and if you want to, you can sprinkle some chopped nuts on top. I've seen people put a marshmallow on top, and it just melts and goes sticky all over it.
I wouldn't even imagine doing
that,
actually.
That's quite nice, actually, and it just goes gooey and sticky.
Oh.
But I love marzipan on top.
Yeah,
so
that's
if you've
what
got
I
little
like,
bits,
yeah.
Either you can roll it out if you want, or just pick off little tiny pieces of it, dollop it on top of the mincemeat, dollop it on top, whack it in the oven, and it will then just sort of soften up and go gooey and marzipan-y, if that's the word, but it is now.
It is now.
And it's really nice. And then it takes it away from being those sort of mince pies that are all pastry and not much filling or not much substance to
it. Sure. Do you know what? On that note, we're going to go over to a request from James in Goldsworth Park. I think I'm just going to savour that moment about the mince pie, because I am. I can feel it in my mouth right now thinking,
marzipan.
Oh, and James wants to hear The Loving Kind by Girls Aloud. So enjoy that, James, and everyone over in Goldsworth Park this morning. So joining me in the studio, we've got Philip Friend, our cooking baking expert, and we love having Philip along because not only is he a wonderful, wonderful person with so much knowledge, but he also brought us some lovely treats that we're going to try live on air very soon. So Philip, I'm going to just kind of drop the tone slightly, because you know it was this week that Gary Rhodes died.
Yes.
What a shock.
Very shocking, very sad. What a great guy, and such, for me, such an inspiration over the decades.
I bet,
He was wonderful to watch. He would really make you just want to get in the kitchen and try something, because that enthusiasm, you can't fabricate that. And his books are still, you know, pride of place on my shelf. He will be so, so missed.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it when I saw it, actually. As I see most news these days on Twitter, and it's, you know, it popped up as a break, and I was like, really? I had to go back again? Because, you know, sometimes these things aren't always as true. And I was like, this really is true.
Okay.
And just so sad,
just
isn't it?
Very,
and,
very.
And an inspiration as well. So many people out there still.
Truly, truly so.
Yeah.
Still
I know, it's one of those ones where, you know, you just, you just can't.
Just hits you.
Yeah, it just hits you. Okay, we're going to go over to some questions now. And I actually have a question for you because you know, new house with John, and, you know, we're thinking about inviting a few people over maybe at Christmas, although I'm very nervous about all that. I've never done it before.
You're doing
and,
it, don't be.
The host is the mostest, probably not. But probably fall flat on my face. But
you won't.
One of the things I was thinking about was a cheese board. And I know when I've been to other people's parties and things and they've had cheese balls, I've also been, ooh, is this exciting, get to try different cheeses and things. And I was wondering, can you recommend some cheeses and I'm gonna say condiments, but anything that kind of goes with it.
Absolutely. I mean, cheese board is brilliant. Actually, sometimes serve that instead of a dessert because, you know, a dessert can be quite filling. Cheese can be quite filling.
Yes.
But I love to go local with a lot of produce, but particularly with cheeses. So this is a great opportunity to go to local markets, farm shops, see what's out there, and get really good cheeses. I would normally go for something like a cream cheese, a hard cheese, maybe a mature strong cheese.
Okay.
A blue cheese is usually very good. And again, there are so many of each varieties.
Yeah.
It's down to personal taste. But actually, don't be afraid, because you were saying about nerves.
Yeah.
You know, don't be nervous. It will be absolutely brilliant. And, you know, any time you entertain, you might be the nervous one.
Yeah.
But actually, people will be there with you, willing you.
Hopefully,
but actually, when people say to you, oh, can I bring something? And they always do. Maybe say, oh, bring a cheese of your choice. Or maybe say, bring a blue cheese, so you don't all get blue cheeses or hard cheeses.
Well, I wonder if that, I think that is brilliant, actually. That's a really good idea. Because, you know, they're going to bring their favourite, and then you're just going to have a whole board of favourite cheeses.
Absolutely. And that way, you will get to experience different cheeses, and invariably, somebody will have a cheese that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting, and then you just want to go out and get it. But to go with a cheese, I usually go very simple with very simple crackers or just a baguette or two, just torn up. But I love honey. with cheese.
See, I've
really
never had honey with cheese. And funny enough, somebody the other day mentioned honey in milk, and I've never had that either. And so maybe I need to get myself some honey and start trying it with things.
Absolutely. I suppose, actually, yeah, never had honey with milk, but I can imagine the same sort of flavour kick. Mm. But yeah, a really good runny honey with cheeses, particularly the strong cheese. Not much, just a little drizzle on top.
Yeah.
And you get that powerful, possibly salty, creamy cheesiness.
Yes.
And that natural sweetness of the honey. It is absolutely sensational.
Oh, I could just go off now and eat.
Me too. I'll come with you.
But we've got more questions, so we're going to come back with some more questions. We've got Jeff from Brookwood. He wants to know, what's the best choice of meat for two people, both with small appetites?
Personally, I think a small chicken mm-hmm. or a couple of poussin. Actually, which you can get.
There's little tiny ones
that you can get very widely available.
Okay.
And they are absolutely brilliant. And what you don't want, obviously, is a massive, massive piece of meat that's going to keep you going through to Easter. So I say a really nice small chicken or poussin is great. Mm. But actually, a small shoulder of lamb is beautiful. And it just pop it in the oven early afternoon, let it do its thing very slowly for the best part of the afternoon, and it will just cook down, be melting in the mouth, fall apart, and that, with your veg assortment, will be absolutely, I think, first rate.
Oh, gosh, I'm getting very, very hungry right now. So we've got Mike in Woking, and Mike wants to have some festive fizz on the big day. But Mike can't drink too much alcohol for medical reasons, which, you know, that's quite a lot. And funny enough, even myself, I'm not a big drinker as such. I quite like a little bit. I'm one of those people who doesn't like it too strong.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. Absolutely.
But I like the effects. But can you suggest an easy drink with a bit of fizz, but not too much fizz?
I agree. I think fizz, yeah, definitely. I think if you're going to have a little bit of alcohol, something like a liqueur, so things like a raspberry liqueur or a fruit liqueur, just in the bottom of the glass, and where a lot of people were then fill it up with Prosecco or champagne, which is lovely. Mm. If you want to cut the alcohol down a bit, a little bit of the fruity liqueur in the bottom, and then top it up with a really good sparkling water. Sparkling elderflower cordial.
See, that's my favourite.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I love that.
I mean, for me, my go-to drink that sort of comes across as quite indulgent, but it's quite light, is raspberry liqueur in the bottom of a glass. A fairly generous amount.
Yeah.
And then top it right up with sparkling elderflower cordial or elderflower fizz.
I'm going to try
that.
It's
really, really good.
I bought a bottle of that yesterday. Not raspberry, but the elderflower.
It works really, really, really well.
Oh, lovely. And I know you have a couple of questions as well, didn't you, from various...
Yes, I've had sort of colleagues at work who have asked for a vegetarian alternative for Christmas. And there are loads of varieties. I mean, I would tend to steer clear of the nut roast, which is sort of very, you know,
quite
stereotypical.
Dry sometimes, aren't they, as well?
Very dry, very heavy, and sometimes not that exciting.
So I love a lot of vegetarian food, but I've never got on with things like nut roast and things because they actually clog me up a bit. Like, I feel a bit,
It can actually go the other way. And actually, vegetarian, actually any food, whatever it is, whether it's meat or otherwise, has got to be a real celebration of flavour. Mm. It's got to look nice. It's got to taste good. And it doesn't actually have to be, you know, this is vegetarian, you know, bracket. I know I've bracketed it that way, but it doesn't need to be its own little pedestal. For me, I'm such a fan of pastry, good quality puff pastry and roasted vegetables. Mm. So things like butternut squash is roasted in the oven with some garlic and some sage and some onions until it just goes soft. Let it cool down. And then that wrapped in pastry, so literally a sheet of pastry, the filling on the top. If you've got any stuffing, cranberry sauce, anything like that can go there as well, almost as a layer.
Yeah.
And then just cover it with another sheet of pastry, brush it with egg, pop it in the oven for about half an hour.
Yeah.
You then get the equivalent centrepiece as you would with a piece of meat or turkey.
The hardest thing I find with pastry is not burning it.
It is. I think it's, you know, at about gas mark 6 or 200 centigrade. Mm. And if after about 20 minutes it's started to go brown, just put some foil over it and just turn the tray around. Even though you might have a really modern fan oven, the hot spots are still there in the oven. So just turn it
around
and it will do its thing.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that sounds perfect if you're a vegetarian out there. Or if you just love, you know, vegetables. I mean, like I say, I'm not a vegetarian, but I eat a lot of vegetarian
really
type food. So
vegetables are phenomenal. A life without veg would be very, very sad. Wouldn't it? And actually, you know, so many things. A cauliflower. It's one of my favourite veg. Just roasted cauliflower with a very thick cheese sauce, again, wrapped in pastry.
We're actually having that for dinner today.
Brilliant.
Funny enough, like you read my mind.
Cauliflower cheese, good old humble British classic.
Yeah.
But actually, that with lots of like onions in there, a bit of mustard.
Oh, onions, that's good.
Just slightly cook them so they're just soft. A bit of mustard in there, maybe.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Do you know what, Philip? I think just before we come to we've got a couple more questions. I think because of time, I just want to get in a request from Stephen over in Goldswood Park, who wants to hear the Suzy Quattro Can the Can.
Yes.
As we all know.
Yes. And this is Radio Work, and I'm Lauren. I'm joined in the studio by Philip Friend, who's talking all about Christmas baking. And we have lots of questions that have come in today. So
yes. We're
going to go back to those. So we've got a question from George in Surrey, who asks, he wants to know, what's the best Christmas spices to cook with? Doesn't say what he's cooking, so basically in general, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Hi, George. Thank you for the question. Spices. Wow. I think spices really make Christmas. And for me, cinnamon is wonderful. And that will go in something sweet, such as a dessert or a pudding or a cake or a custard.
Mm-hmm.
Or savoury, just a little bit of cinnamon, maybe with some carrots. Not too much, just a little bit, because it can go quite medicinal. With some cabbage. Red cabbage is fantastic. Cloves are wonderful. I mean, they're great all year, but I think Christmas and cloves, which might be, I think,
I'm
judging
giving
from
you
your
that
face,
look.
Quite
divisive. Do you know why? I think you're going to guess why. It's because it reminds me of the dentist. And
it's, again, overdone. Spices really can give horrible connotations.
Right.
They can go medicinal, or they can conjure up all sorts of horror images. But spices, cloves, I just, you know, three or four of them in a white sauce, or with onions, just cooked along with them, is absolutely fantastic. Then just fish them out and they've done their job of just gently infusing. But again, less is very, very much more. Ginger as well.
I like ginger.
Dry ginger, stem ginger is absolutely wonderful.
Brilliant. And I do love cinnamon all year round, but, you know, I just think, to me, cinnamon's the thing for me for Christmas.
Absolutely.
And
again, it's just being careful with it, just a little bit here or there, or a cinnamon stick. If you're doing mulled wine, I think it's essential in there. Actually, in a gravy, if you're simmering a gravy, actually at any time of the year, pop in a cinnamon stick for 10 or 15 minutes, and it'll do its job. And it will very lightly perfume and flavour the gravy without overpowering it too much.
Brilliant. And Philip, you were asked recently about making gifts. What can you can do to make gifts? And in front of me right now, I'm holding it in my hand. I don't know how I've been so
I'm impressed.
So strong. Especially when it comes to chocolate. But you've made these beautiful truffles. Tell me about these. And how can they be used as a gift? Or how can we use these at Christmas?
Well, actually, if they make it to a gift and we don't actually eat them at
home, actually, I'll have a little
taste
now.
It's too easy.
Oh, they're really lovely. They're soft. Oh, they've got amaretto in them?
They've got a little bit of amaretto, and it's literally just double cream. Mm. But I have done it with milk, just semi-skim milk before, and that works really well if you want to cut
the fat out.
I suppose
that takes the calories down a bit,
It will take the calories out, and it's about, you know, 100 mils of milk or cream, boiled up with about 150 grams of chocolate that you chop up really small.
Mm.
And once the milk's all boiled up, let it cool for a bit, pour it over the chocolate, and then just leave it to just start to melt.
Quality
dark chocolate. And then just give it a stir, splash of amaretto or whiskey or rum, and then just leave it in the fridge to set. And then you just get this lovely chocolatey mass that you can shape into little balls, roll it in cocoa. Mm. Kids love doing this, get messy.
Yes,
as well. Obviously, with the alcohol, not for the kids, but actually shaping it into little balls, rolling it in cocoa powder, and then just bagging it up into nice little gift packs. Lovely, pretty labels as gifts, because they will keep in the fridge for several weeks.
Okay.
So take those along to a party or, say, as a little gift under the tree. Absolutely wonderful, very quick to make.
Mm.
But also biscuits as well. If you make biscuits, shortbread or anything like that, just cut small versions out, ice them, maybe dip them in a bit of chocolate instead, and just, again, put them into nice little gift wrappers for people.
Honestly, a really that nice, is simple, absolutely beautiful. Presents. That is so nice. Thank you so much for bringing that in.
It's a pleasure.
So you have a website, don't you, that people can go to and get your recipes and find out more about, you know, what you're doing and what you've done. And
absolutely, yeah.
How do we find that?
Yeah, it's www.bakingfanatic.com. And I started off originally this as just baking mainly, because one of the girls at school said, oh, it's really easy, Mr. Friend, you know, this is how you start blogging. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I thought, do you know, I might actually use it just to save a few of my recipes that I've written down on scraps of paper over the decade. And since then, it's developed from baking, but also general cooking. There's lots of Christmas recipes on there. And it keeps me busy in a lovely way.
And you have such wonderful, wonderful recipes and tips and everything. So
lots of tips. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming down. Thank you for sharing your festive treats as well with us.
As ever. Obviously, it's a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good way to end the show on it. Thanks, Philip.